It is hour number two of Garden Talk live at KSRO. I'm Steve Garner along with Gwen Kilcher, and couldn't be happier that you decided to turn on the radio and give us a listen this morning. 9 to 11 Garden Talk. John Ash, chef extraordinaire, in at 11 o'clock for the KSRO Good Food Hour. Lots of great guests this morning. We'll be talking to Cole Dickinson, chef of the new Layla restaurant in MacArthur Place. That's the magnificent resort in Sonoma that has been in the rebuilding process for the past year and a half. They're opening to the public May 1st for lunch, dinner, breakfast, and we'll give you an insider's peek at the menu. Haven't really seen anything much about the opening. We'll tell you about that with Chef Cole Dickinson. We'll also chat about fava beans with John. He's got some great recipes that are tried and true. Later on in the Good Food Hour, we'll welcome folks from the Wine Chefs of Tomorrow, the Culinary Olympics for the high schools. That's coming up on May 1st, on Wednesday, the annual culinary competition. And we'll give you a chance to win a pair of tickets to this great event. We'll be welcoming the chef instructor and one of her students from Casa Grande High School, who won the People's Choice Award last year. So listen for that on the Good Food Hour today. We want to welcome a very wonderful guest who we've not had the pleasure of having on for, gosh, it's been a year and a half, almost 2 years, since we had the wonderful Joby Oft on the show. He is the agricultural farm manager and instructor in the agricultural program for Santa Rosa's Redwood Adventist Academy up at Marquess Springs Road. And thank you for coming in this morning.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
You have been in our thoughts since the tragic October fire of 2017, when the campus was pretty much totally destroyed, wasn't it? The buildings?
Completely destroyed.
Burned to the ground. And of course, that impacted the gardens as well, with all the electrical and plumbing and irrigation. Everything. Really a total loss, would you not?
We're pretty close to. And I would say the biggest impact was losing our customer base, Marquess Springs Road, all of our friends and family along that area, and a lot of other places in Santa Rosa, completely devastated.
Well, we had the pleasure of having Joby on for a couple times in the past few years to talk about the farm stand. You brought in melons and produce, and I can't tell you how excited people were every summer. When is the farm stand going to open? Because you became famous for those melons that you grew out there.
Specifically the watermelons that nobody really can grow as good as him.
I got to give the kids credit, too. Well, they helped me pick them.
It was and when I told my significant other, my lovely wife, that you were going to be on today, her first question was, when's the farm stand going to open? And I said, well, I don't think it's today or tomorrow or next week, but hopefully it will be sometime this summer, as I know you're in a very aggressive, intensive rebuilding mode. So bring us back to the fire. It was a complete loss, a complete disaster for all. And over this past year and a half, going on 2 years, the rebuilding process has taken place. There have been, I'm sure, donations and fundraising efforts, because it takes a lot of money to rebuild a school from scratch.
Yeah, you're correct. So I kind of remember it because it was canning season. I had a whole canning set up in my backyard, and I was, you know, canning tomatoes, and I smelled smoke late that night, and I thought maybe my canning supplies had gone up in flames, and, you know, the whole backside of my house was glowing, and I was far away from it, but it was, you know, it was over in that direction. So once I kind of got a sense of what was going on, and all the neighbors were out knocking on doors, waking people up, you know, realized, well, the school's probably gone. And that's exactly what happened. I mean, the school, everything around it, somehow Reebley Elementary School, you know, they fared all right. They lost a few modulars. But yeah, so then pretty soon after, the school got a game plan, and they moved the entire elementary school to their Santa Rosa Church location, and we're resuming classes within a week and a half there. And that's a pretty huge deal to start school up in a location with nothing, books or curriculum, computers. And the reason why that happened is because of donations, and they were just coming in every day, and people were so supportive. And, you know, within a few weeks, we had the books that we needed, everything we needed to to start a school from scratch. And of course, all the teachers and everybody that worked there were exhausted. We had some flights of stairs to get up to the upstairs classrooms, and books are heavy, and our library was up there. We set up shop really fast, and you know, the kids were in school with their mask on. It was still smoky. Places were still evacuating, and we were back up and rolling. Our high school program moved up to a sister campus in at Rio Lindo and Healdsburg. Mm-hmm. And so the high school program is still up there with Rio Lindo. The following summer, we put modulars back up on our campus, and now we're resuming school with elementary. So we're doing kindergarten through eighth grade. And the farm is not up and operating yet, mm-hmm. but as we speak, there's irrigation pipes laying on the ground out there and trenches dug, and cover crops being cut down, compost is coming, hoop house is almost finished. We plan on having vegetables and a farm stand open in August.
Let's take a break at that point. Joe has a question about damping off. Hi, Joe. Welcome to Garden Talk at KSRO.
Good morning. I have a bed where I put my starts.
We're having difficulty hearing you, Joe.
Okay, I'll try to speak up. I have a bed in my greenhouse where I put my starts, or not starts, but the seeds for planting. And for the last couple of years, I've had a bit of damping off. And I'm trying to figure out what kind of soil should I put in there to renew that. I should probably take out all the old soils in there.
I would get rid of everything that's in the greenhouse there. And sterilize your containers, your little pots. Just put them in a bleach water solution and let them sit out in the sun and dry. And use a good quality seed starting mix. Or you could use a potting soil if you wanted. That would be fine. It's a lightweight mix. But a seed starting mixture is pretty darn sterile. And you just watch the watering, okay? Don't overwater. Make sure you have good air circulation in your greenhouse. And you shouldn't have any problems then with damping off.
Okay.
That's, so the bottom line is good soil and good air circulation, and just watch your watering. No overwatering.
Great.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Let us know how it turns out the second time around.
Sure. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Joe.
Do you agree with Gwen's advice, Joby?
I do.
He wouldn't say no on the air.
Of course not. And she's right beside me, too, so, and she's got a sharp pen. But, yeah, just soil. I like soilless mixes for my seeds. Oh. They don't need any nutrients to get started.
What's a soilless mix?
Oftentimes it has coconut coir, vermiculite. Mm-hmm. Sometimes people have perlite in there to help retain moisture. But it's sterile, like Gwen said, and the seeds aren't going to get some sort of.
But do you refresh it every single time, or can you reuse it?
It's a good idea to clean up after a couple of seasons, or after a season even.
Yeah. What do you use, Gwen?
Super soil. I found it at Friedman Brothers, actually. Yeah. I start so many seeds, and so the seed starting mixes, they come in such small packages that it would cost me a fortune.
Uh-huh.
So I get the two cubic foot bag,
ones, yep.
And it goes a long way, and it works, and I have good air circulation. Good. I watch the watering, and I don't have a problem.
So when you're starting in your rebuilding process at Redwood Academy, Adventist Academy, are the irrigation lines in first? Where are you starting? What's the process?
Immediately after the fire, starting with infrastructure, figuring out where power came into the campus, mm-hmm. and starting there, getting some temp permits to get power out to our well. That's kind of the heartbeat of the farm. And then repairing, and of course, anything above ground was toasted.
Yeah.
And so fixing that type of stuff. But also, a major part of the farm now is figuring out where it's going to go. Within the master plan of the campus. Mm-hmm. And
so you're not going to have the farm in the same spot it has been all these years?
Well, we're
along,
we're
right along the road there.
Yeah, we're figuring that out. So immediately, what I'm doing is I'm kind of wrapping the farm around the modular classroom, so the kids have that outdoor laboratory available to them just by walking outside of their classrooms. Okay. And we'll see long term where it ends up and where the actual classrooms end up as well.
Did you have to do any soil testing to see what was going on in the soil?
Yeah, so there's actually a couple of different types of tests that happened. A scientist from Berkeley was doing a study on leafy greens and the types of toxins they might receive within an urban setting, a lot of vehicles and exhaust and things like that. So he thought he could get some data by looking at some of the lettuces and kales that we had planted during that time. And so he came in and took some samples of the leafy greens that we had there. And I haven't heard back from him yet. So that's kind of maybe not even worth talking about. But we did plant a lot of cover crops, right after the fire.
What did you plant?
Just nitrogen fixers, legumes, vetch, the fabas. There was some areas with some barley and clover, stuff like that. And really the areas that we farmed before have been fallow since which is also good for it. I mean, it's just kind of doing its own thing out there. The ground still looks good, and I'm chomping at the bit to get back out there and work that soil because I've got a relationship with it, and I know it's good stuff.
Have you already plowed under that cover crop?
No, gotcha. No, I've cut it down and kind of let it dry out on top.
So irrigation, electrical, all that had to be plotted out.
Yeah.
And then the soil looks good.
Soil looks great. Good. We actually, being a school and, concerned about our kids' health, we've done soil samples with a third party, and they went out around the campus and took hundreds of soil samples, including in the areas where we would have expected to have high levels of metals and things like that they look out for, like around our auto body shop and some of the industrial arts areas. But they all came back clear. So we're safe to play in the dirt.
Wow.
And the worms look good too. So.
Wow.
And the worms look good. You've seen worm activity.
Yeah, no two-headed worms.
The kids, wow. I must be chomping at the bit to get outside. I remember you telling us how many kids seem to really blossom outside the classroom, that their ability to think through problem solving, opening their minds to different ways of conceptualizing the world and nature was expanded so much once they're out in the garden.
Yes, that's absolutely correct. And we're fortunate at Redwood Academy because we have 23 plus acres there. And about 13 of those acres are right along the little creek there, Porter Creek. And that's a great area to bring the kids. It's kind of forested. There's still some trees down there. And so while we may not have been able to have them out doing so much agriculture, aside from some raised beds that we have, we're doing a lot of nature classes down there by the creek, and we're actually developing a forced kindergarten class that will be next year. So our forced kindergarten will be, the kindergartners will be taking their classes outdoors in our forest down by the creek.
How many kids do you work with, would you say?
Pre-fire, we had about 130 kids, and now there's... And we're getting new kids, it seems, every day. But now we're up to, I think, about 64 kids there. Wow. Yeah, and that's kindergarten through eighth grade.
Okay, we'll take a break. Spring is the sign of hope, and there's nothing more hopeful than to hear about the resurgence of the Redwood Adventist Academy's gardening program under the direction of Joby Oft. And he's our special guest this morning on Garden Talk. Steve Garner and Gwen Kilcher in the KSRO Greenhouse. We're still taking gardening questions. You have two masters of the soil here at your disposal simply by picking up the phone and giving us a call, 636-1350. When should you be planting certain vegetables and fruits this summer? What should you be pruning? Is it too late to fill in the blank? Joby and Gwen can both tackle your questions. Or if you want to shoot us an email and attach a photo of a plant that's in distress, communicate that way. It's steve@ksro.com. No one on hold at this moment. Give us a call. We'd love to talk.
traffic on the fives, weather six times an hour. Sonoma County's morning news with Pat Kerrigan on FM News Talk, KSRO.
Keep cool this summer. Now through April, Ongro & Sons is offering an AC tune-up Freon check and charge that includes up to 1 pound of Freon regularly priced at $249 for just $49. Tuning up your AC will enhance your home comfort, help minimize repair and operating costs, and increase the life expectancy of your system.
Hello, friends. This is Ernie Ongro. Along with my brother Paul and cousins Dean and Mitch, we own and operate Ongro & Sons Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling. We're a family business opened in 1932 by our grandfather. It's always been a big part of our lives. Just like our parents before us, we grew up around the shop, getting our hands dirty, learning the value of hard work, and giving our customers the very best. Whether you need maintenance, a repair, or want to update your system, remember, Ongro & Sons, we're always here for you.
To schedule a $49 AC tune-up, Freon check and charge, visit OngroAndSons.com or call 579-3511. Ongro & Sons Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling, a modern company since 1932.
The Rodney Strong Summer Concert Series, presented by Montgomery Village, is excited to announce the 2019 season. This year's sensational lineup kicks off on Saturday, June 22nd, with a special performance by Alanis Morissette. It's like rain! The series continues on Sunday, July 14th, with two amazing shows and one amazing night. Rick Springfield, with guest Richard Marx. The series ends on Saturday, September 7th with the Beach Boys. Enjoy exceptional wine and great music all summer long at the intimate setting of the Concert Green at Rodney Strong Vineyards. Visit RodneyStrongConcertSeries.com for tickets and information. Or visit the tasting room at Rodney Strong Vineyards. The Rodney Strong Summer Concert Series is presented by Montgomery Village and sponsored by River Rock Casino. Grab your tickets while supplies last.
This is Michael O'Shea, president of Amaturo Sonoma Media Group, asking for your support for our friends, neighbors, and loved ones recovering from the recent devastating and historic flood. Please make a gift to United Way of the Wine Country's Sonoma County Flood Recovery and Wellness Fund by texting Sonoma Flood to 85511. You can also visit UnitedWayWineCountry.org or call 707-528-4485 for more information. By living united, we can help our community recover.
Paradise Pet Resorts welcomes your furry family members to go to paradise for the day. Try doggy daycare. It helps your dog socialize, learn dog etiquette, and get exercise. There's all-day supervised pup play, indoor and outdoor yards, and webcams so you can check on them from anywhere. Nobody loves your pets like you do, but nobody cares for your pets like they do at Paradise Pet Resorts.
It's paradise.
KSRO, AM, FM, and online. Depend on it.
If you write anything on your computer,
well, you picked a great hour to listen to Garden Talk because we have our special guest today is Joby Oft. Joby is the farm manager and instructor at Redwood Adventist Academy's Garden and Farm Program on Mark West Springs Road. If you're just joining us, it burned during our tragic October 2017 fire. They are rebuilding, and Joby's telling us that the farm stand will once again rise again. Hopefully in August. Is this what you're saying at this point?
That's what we're shooting for.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. You're going to need the CHP to be out on Mark West Springs Road directing traffic when that farm stand opens, because there will be people lined up with their trunks ready to fill them with those fabulous watermelons that you grow. Lorraine, thanks for giving us a call. You're on Garden Talk with Gwen and Joby. Hi, Lorraine.
Hello.
Morning.
I would like to know if there's a benefit of using rock dust for fruit trees.
To spray it on your, or just to use it as a supplemental amendment? Mm-hmm. You can. Yes. Yeah, you can. You, well, you need to know how many square feet you're working with and ideally how deep how good your soil is, and then you're going to know how many, say, ounces or pounds per square foot, or every 10 feet, you know, square. How do you say that?
Cubic feet.
Blah blah blah, all that. You know, you have to know how much to put on in a certain area. So you can. It takes a long time for it to break down. So if you see that you have a deficiency of, isn't it phosphorus?
Mm-hmm.
Rocks is phosphorus in your soil. Okay, then you can justify, you know, adding it. But first, yes. Did you do a soil test?
Yes, I could.
No, did you?
Oh, no, I have not.
Okay, so where did you come up with rock dust? Why?
I've just heard that Green Streams Farm offers it for sale, and I was, you know, curious if that was something I should try for my fruit trees.
Okay, I would, if your tree's growing, they're producing fruit, everybody's happy?
I have young trees.
Okay.
It's like a year.
Okay, the most important thing would be correct watering, sufficient watering, okay. And not too much, not too little.
Uh-huh.
Put compost on top of the soil, maybe 3 or 4 inches thick. Keep it away, a few inches away from the trunk of the tree. And as that compost starts to break down, it will add nutrients and goodies and whatnot to your soil. It'll help hold the moisture stay in the soil. It'll help suppress some weeds. And that's about all your trees need. Unless they're showing signs of, you know, light green leaves or purpling colors or veins showing, something that's telling you that the tree is not getting enough of a particular nutrient or nutrients. But if they're looking good, they're getting everything they need from the soil, just put compost on the soil, and then it's called mulch.
Okay, right.
Okay? So that would be the most important thing to do.
Okay, thank you so much.
Pleasure. Do you use rock dust at all, Jovi?
No, I just use compost. I like to put a little bit of something from the ocean. That gets a lot of micronutrients. Yeah, kelp meals, nice. Real important is look at the size of the tree's canopy, and that's kind of the outline of where you want to put your compost. It doesn't just go right there at the trunk, kind of spread out away and encourage those roots to grow out to your nutrients, have it ready for them when they're growing out, because those roots grow fast, just as fast as what's going on up top.
So some sea minerals, you do do an amendment with some sea minerals like kelp.
Yeah, and that's all in kelp.
And what else do you add? Any other amendments to your melon crop or tomatoes or anything else?
Well, I usually start off with, depending on where I'm doing it, if I've got some clay, I'll throw in some gypsum. That kind of helps to deflocculate the soil when it's wet, so it's not all cakey and a little bit of calcium in there, compost on top. And I don't like to work the soil too much, so I'll generally just kind of put those amendments on top of the beds. And as long as you have moisture leading up to the amendments, the worms go up and take them down.
Some pretty simple protocol.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Tommy, you're on KSRO at Garden Talk. Good morning, Tommy.
Tammy.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's Tammy, not Tommy. Pardon me.
Good. I just wanted to say hi to Jovi.
Okay, we're at... Let's see. It looks like... Oh. There we go.
Are you still there?
Yeah, go ahead.
Better. Hey, Jovi, it's Tammy and Greg from Starting From Scratch. We just want to say hi.
Oh, hey, guys. Nice to hear from you. Are you still over there at the Ag Credit building?
Yes. We are, and it's going great, and we are so ready for you to be back in action.
Good. We'll get those tomatoes ready for you. I know you love to put those on your amazing sandwiches.
Yes, we love the heirloom tomatoes. We love everything that you do. So we're so ready. When you're back in action, we will be there.
Great. Thank you so much. I will be giving you a call.
Yeah, definitely. I would love to hear from you.
And I see you guys racing around in those beautiful vans.
Yes, we are racing around in our beautiful vans, and this is good, and we're trying to grow our own garden, and but we so need you, because we have a lot to, you know, a lot more than we can grow in our little suburbia house.
Good. Yeah, farmers are important.
Thank you for the call, Tammy.
Most definitely.
Nice to hear from you.
Great. That's wonderful. I think there's a lot of pent-up demand out there for your produce. So where will you start once the soil is ready, once all the irrigation is, and what are you gonna plant first?
Well, I'm kind of focusing on just some typical summer crops that people love to have, the staples. We do really well with tomatoes. We've planted over 50, usually over almost 100 varieties each year, and we know which ones we like and our customers like and hold up well. So we're definitely going to be doing our tomatoes. Watermelons take a lot of space, and but the kids love those, and our customers do, and we've had good luck with those in the past. We have been struggling before the fire with symphalens in our watermelons. So I planted three. I pronounce it symphalens, whatever it is. It's these little bugs that run real fast on the ground. They look kind of like white centipedes, and they chew out the tip of the seed when it sprouts, and they don't come up. So it's very frustrating. So you plant them, they don't come up, they don't come up. They do come up, and then they start chewing on the roots, and the plant looks terrible, and you feel like a bad farmer. But dig in there, and you'll find them all over the place, and they're hard to deal with. But if you can get your starts in the ground, and only water around where that root is for the start, so you have to do a lot more intermittent waterings.
Yeah.
They travel through moisture as well, so they're down a little deep. And if your beds are tall and dry, and you're just watering the plant, it'll give that plant enough time to thrive before they can get at they chew on the immature root hairs.
When do you plant out your melons?
I like to get them in when the soil's warm so they can just take off. Otherwise, they'll just sit there.
Oh. So June?
Yeah, well, end of May, middle June. May. Yeah, mm-hmm. And then if you're putting starts in the ground, get them in May. Usually the first planting, I'll have some row covers ready just in case we get some late frost that comes through.
And do you grow the melons on like cardboard or anything like that to keep them off the soil?
I usually mulch with plastic, and you can get it's organically certified now. You can get biodegradable plastic mulch, and it kind of dissolves in the sun, just eats it up over time. Uh-huh. And it's I think it's a corn-based product. I've experimented with different colors, blues, red, silver, white. Black has done really well for me.
So that's
it,
what you grow
nice and warm
around the melons. Mm-hmm. That's what they grow on, instead of direct soil contact.
Well, they're under the mulch, so I lay down the plastic mulch, and then poke holes in it, and then that's where I plant the melons, is in the holes. Yeah,
well, this is cool. And what kind of watermelon do you prefer? What variety?
Oh man, my favorite's got to be the orange glow. I mean, when you get a good orange glow, it just tastes like orange sherbet, and it's delicious. Yeah,
orange glow. Are these small baby melons?
They're pretty big, oblong,
10 pounders, 15.
A melon? Oh, over 10 pounds. Okay. Definitely over 10 pounds. But those are delicious, and I feel like melons are pretty easy to grow.
Ha!
Yeah.
That's why I gave up years ago, and I buy yours.
That's why you have
not easy to pick, that's for sure.
That's why you have a line going out on Mark West Springs Road of cars waiting, because they're so easy to grow.
Yeah.
So the orange glow is your fave. What other ones, if people wanted to try to grow
some of these? Crimson Sweet, that's a staple. And I mean, if you're doing a pink flesh, red flesh melon.
Crimson Sweet?
Yeah,
okay.
those are really delicious. Those are the two staples that I do. We do some sunshine melons. They're a yellow melon, but they're not that great for storage or stacking. They have a thin rind.
Okay.
So not so many of those.
Have you heard of Blacktail Mountain?
No.
I have to get you some of those seeds.
Blacktail?
Yeah.
Is that a watermelon, Gwen?
Uh-huh.
Blacktail Mountain?
Mm-hmm.
You've grown those?
Mm-hmm.
Flavor?
Excellent. But I only lucked out one time, and then that's it. So Joby can have all my seeds.
What about, you know, what I hear about is Sugar Baby.
Yeah, Sugar Babies, we do some of those. Yeah. Those are nice for the kids because
they're smaller, aren't they?
Yeah, they're easy to carry. Uh-huh. And usually what we'll do is put them all in a line, and I'll pick them off the ground and toss them 5 feet, and they just kind of toss these melons along to the container that they go in.
The flavor is good on those too? The sugar babies, the flavor is good?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're good.
Kevin, good morning. Welcome to Garden Talk Live at KSRO. You have two great farmer growers here in Gwen and Joby. Hi.
Hi. How's everything today?
Doing well. What can we do for you?
I was curious about the best variety of strawberries for our area here in Santa Rosa.
Well, there's a few of them, and my favorite is Albion, A-L-B-I-O-N. Okay. And then my next favorite, which was developed at UC Davis, is Seascape, S-E-A-S-C-A-P-E. And then you have your other...
Do they produce all season long, or is it a one-shot deal?
No, these are everbearing, what they call everbearing. Okay. If you stick with both of those, you don't need any other varieties.
What about you, Joey?
I agree. I think you're spot on. Yeah.
Albions?
Yeah, they're real sweet and consistent and hardy. Yeah.
So maybe you can plant both, hedge your bets.
There
do you
go.
Plant both? What do you plant?
I only did strawberries once, and then the deer told me they didn't want me to do them anymore.
Okay.
So there you go, Kevin. I would grow Albion. If you can find that, grow that first. If you can't, then Seascape would be your next best bet.
Okay. How about cantaloupes?
Cantaloupes. We'll leave that for Joby. Which
okay.
one?
Oh, man, cantaloupes. It's kind of like a quiz here. I'm trying to think of all the varieties that I ordered.
Then can I tell them the two that I would
grow?
Yeah,
go for it.
Hale's Best and Hearts of Gold.
Hearts of Gold. That's a good one.
Hold on.
Wrangler is
pretty good size.
Hold on, we're getting up.
They're average size cantaloupes that you'd see in the store. Okay. Nice size. And which one?
Yeah, I really like the Wranglers. If you like to have a cantaloupe in your home for a few days and not have it turn to mush, they've got kind of a typical kind of striping, I guess you would say, like the ridges. Very nice, firm, sweet fruit.
So, Joby, you're saying Wranglers for cantaloupe. And Gwen, you said Hearts of Gold?
Mm-hmm. And Hale's Best.
And Hale's Best.
H-A-L-E apostrophe S.
Okay. So there
Thank you very much.
There's your recommendations from two master melon growers right there.
And you know where we are, right? So you'll bring us some melons and strawberries Saturday morning.
Doc, we'll take your call next. You got a question about melons, too, for Joby Off. Joby is the farm manager and a teacher of the agricultural program at the Redwood Adventist Academy on Mark West Springs Road here in Santa Rosa. The school and the farm, all of it destroyed in our October 2017 fire, but they're rising from those cinders, and the farm is replanting. The school is getting back on track. Students are returning to the campus, and Joby's telling us that it looks like August they'll be up and running for the farm stand. 636-1350. If you want to chat with us this morning, we can take calls, or Steve at ksro.com.
Join the switch to crystal clear KSRO-FM, 103.5 Santa Rosa, Windsor, 94.5 Petaluma. Hear the difference.
Hello, this is Dr. Goodwin at Sequoia Mind Health in Santa Rosa. I'm a UCSF-trained psychiatrist welcoming new clients to our 4th Street practice. Here at Sequoia Mind Health, our focus is not on mental illness, but on mental wellness. Our goal is to help you maintain lifelong wellness by combining cutting-edge Western medicine approaches like IV ketamine infusions, ketamine-assisted psychotherapy, and deep TMS with alternative medicine and whole-person care. At Sequoia Mind Health, you can see your psychiatrist, physician assistant, nurse practitioner, therapist, and acupuncturist all under one roof. And yes, we take private insurance. This month, we are excited to welcome to our practice Peter Timmerman, a physician assistant who, in addition to mental health, has a special interest in diabetes and lipidology. Visit SequoiaMindHealth.com today to learn more about our team. SequoiaMindHealth.com. Get well, stay well.
Real estate in the North Bay is as diverse as its residents. From young families to retirees, you want a real estate professional that knows the region and can get you what you want with the least amount of hassle. Allison Norman of Keller Williams fits the bill.
Need to move mom and dad? Need to sell the house to pay for their care? With extensive experience in senior relocation, estate liquidation, trust, and probate, I can help ease the strain of relocating an aging parent or settling an estate after the loss of a loved one. I'm connected with senior move managers and realtors locally and across the country for a smooth transition when relocating to a care facility or out of the area.
Allison is involved in giving back in our community, too.
I've adopted a care, serve, give business practice, allowing me to give back to the communities I serve and the causes most important to my clients. Through Care, Serve, Give, I donate a charity you select at the close of every escrow.
Call Allison at 707-799-3617. Online at allisonnorman.kw.com.
Start your career as a full-time bartender or beverage server at Grayton. Meet Sergio from 630 Park Steakhouse.
One of the things that I believe is very important is stability. We offer not only full-time, but the benefit package is ridiculously good.
Enroll in our free bartender school today. Earn great pay plus tips in a fast-paced and fun environment. Visit GraytonResortCasino.com for details.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
With Sonoma County's most accurate, most dependable forecast, here's Daniel Trucios on the KSRO Weather Watch.
Cooler temperatures for the weekend, high 76 today, 61 on the coast, and a bit cloudy. Partly cloudy tonight, low 49, 46 on the shores. Sunny for tomorrow at 76, 61 in Bodega Bay. Monday, a few clouds at 73, 59 on the coastline. Depend on weather every 30 minutes on FM News Talk 103.5 and 94.5. KSRO.
Joby Oft is our guest in the KSRO greenhouse today. Joby's the farm manager, agricultural teacher at the Redwood Adventist Academy on Mark West Springs Road here in Santa Rosa. And any gardening questions you might have, especially fruits and vegetables, where did you start farming and growing? Where did you get your chops?
Well, I grew up on a farm in New York back when you could make money off of wool. And we had sheep, but we grew a lot of our food for the winter in a garden. And I think sitting in the dirt as a kid, that really stuck. And then I farmed out of college in Forestville for a bit and tried my hand at market gardening. Mm-hmm. And then went out to Colorado and farmed commercially for three seasons. Moved back to Santa Rosa and did the market gardening thing again there at Mark West Springs Road at What's Up Farm.
Amazing. What's Up Farm? Doc from Petaluma, welcome to Garden Talk live at KSRO. What can we do for you?
Well, thanks. I listen to you guys every weekend. I've been waiting for this guy. Now, melons, I've heard that you can't grow melons around here because it's not hot enough, but I've had pretty good success that I got a gopher problem. But now, you say to plant them later in the year, huh?
Melons don't like to have cold feet or cold roots, so unless you're putting mulch down, something that can, you know, absorb some of that solar heat and transfer it to the soil, I like to wait until it's warmer, because then they're in their element and they take off. And you'll notice that a melon plant or seed put, maybe even a seed put in 3 weeks after you put in a transplant, is going to produce melons almost the same time. And that plant will have thrived during its whole existence rather than kind of struggling. And I don't know, melons in Petaluma, it sounds like, you know, you guys have a little bit cooler temperatures down there. But I think you're right. They don't seem hard to grow to me. I mean, you just,
you know, we're in a microclimate up here. Well, I'm on the west side of Petaluma. We're up on a hill, and it's pretty warm up here. You know, most of the time I've got a black barrier that I put down over it to keep the weeds down, and that helps helps the roots keep them warm overnight.
Great.
I put them in a couple weeks earlier, but still. Now, what kind of fertilizer would you use for them?
You know, I actually used to get my compost from Sonoma Compost, and it was just a really nice organic compost mix. I get it by the truckload. Usually it's a mix of manure, grape plant, you know, some sort of organic matter, and that's it. And it's sometimes I'll have them mix a little gypsum in with that mix, but it's just an organic mix.
What kind of varieties of melons have you grown successfully, Doc?
I've grown honeydews, crane melons, and very little on the watermelon side.
Oh, good. Yeah, those crane melons are delicious.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah, and then real important.
Talking, so I use horse manure.
What's that?
I say I use horse manure on the ground, and I use it. I lighten it up with a little, you know, something to lighten it up a little bit. We got really sandy soil up here.
Yeah.
So I mix the soil with it and put the aged manure down, and it seems to work really well for them.
Great. Yeah, and if you can get that aged manure, especially important with horse manure, because they'll, you know, they don't kill the seeds that they eat. So oftentimes you'll be planting crabgrass, Bermuda grass, all kinds of nasty stuff out in your farm when you use horse manure. I find a huge, it makes a big deal. Watering is big with melons. You want to make sure that they have not too much water, not too little water.
You damp them off if you put too much water on them.
Yeah. Yep. That's correct.
So there's your answer, Doc.
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much.
Our pleasure talking with you. We'll take a break. We could take a few more calls. We've got about 6-7 minutes with Joby and Gwen. Now, Renee holding the fundraising plant sale. People are emailing us again that missed the first part of the show. The plant sale is today and tomorrow. Correct?
Today, 9 to 4, and tomorrow from 12 to 4 at 4092 Barnes Road behind John Ash Restaurant.
Today and tomorrow. Okay, and this is it.
So that's it.
For Renee's fabulous tomatoes, there's the answer to that. We'll get to another email question, and we can take some calls for Joby and Gwen at 636-1350.
Rincon Valley hears KSRO on Crystal Clear FM at 103.5.
This is Michael O'Shea, president of KSRO. When I relocated here 6 years ago and set up my Rincon Valley home, I decided that here in the Rose City, I'd better get the color of roses in my home, and I kind of stumbled on King's Nursery right in the middle of Santa Rosa. I found a panorama of sights and aromas that made King's my absolute go-to spot for roses, hanging baskets, potted plants inside and outside. 5 years later, small indoor plants have transformed into large, luxurious, and healthy additions to my home. And the ground surrounding has become a vista of colors and fragrance. Everything from gorgeous rose trees to healthy and colorful baskets to morning glories climbing and reaching for the sky. King's Nursery is simply flower heaven right here in the middle of the Rose City. I cannot recommend King's more enthusiastically. 1212 13th Street, Santa Rosa, or ask your smartphone directions to King's Nursery, Santa Rosa. It's the perfect time to add color and fragrance to your life. King's Nursery, 1212 13th Street, just a few blocks off college, or kingsflowernursery.com.
Come to the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, voted Best Farmers Market. Find a wide selection of garden starts, savor farm fresh eggs and produce like fresh strawberries, avocados, and asparagus. Enjoy farm-to-table almonds, walnuts, and healthy salad greens. Discover quality beef, pork, fresh seafood, and freshly made sausages. Multiple food vendors are serving up an excellent breakfast and lunch using farm-fresh products. Minhee's Korean Cuisine, The Green Grocer, Mi Fiesta's Fresh Tamales, and a whole lot more. Santa Rosa's original Farmers Market at the Luther Burbank Center for the Arts is open year-round Wednesdays and Saturdays, 8:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. Thank you, Sonoma County, for voting them number one. The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, where it's always fresh, local, and fun.
Tune in to Travel Tuesdays, April 30th at 12 noon, when Chef John Ash is live talking about our next KSRO culinary cruise with Oceana Cruises aboard the Marina, embarking on October 16, 2020 in Athens, Greece, and ending up 9 days later in Venice. This amazing 9-day itinerary will include the Greek ports of Rhodes, Ephesus, Santorini, Catacallon, Kotor, Montenegro, Zadar, Croatia, and ending with an overnight in beautiful Venice.
While aboard, our Casserole listeners will enjoy an exclusive cocktail party and meet and greet with Chef Ash, more surprises to be added, and we'll have the opportunity to participate in hands-on cooking classes with Chef Ash on board. Listen to the podcast of Travel Tuesdays and Oceana Cruises at KSRO.com. For more info on the next KSRO Culinary Cruise with Chef John Ash and Oceana, contact Elise Corey at TravelWise, 707-935-WISE. That's WISE with a Z, or email KSRO@TravelWise.net.
Well, we'll have to have you back, Jovi, because there's too many melon questions for us to get to all of them during this hour. But we will certainly have you back in the summer as you get closer to opening the farm stand at Redwood at Adventist Academy, okay? How about that? Because I know you got a lot of work in the next few months ahead of you. So we got a picture of a really nasty weed here. You think it might be sorrel, but we're not sure. Is that right, Gwen and Jovi?
It's a type of sorrel. I have it in my yard. I just take my shovel and I decapitate and I just cut it and then I leave it on the ground and it rots away. So it has somewhat of a long, slender, annoying taproot where you pull the plant out and the root system's still there. So if you can dig the whole thing out, great. But if you can't and you have enough time on your hands, then you just decapitate it with your shovel and just move on. And when it starts to come back up again, next week I'll have the specific name, but I think it's something sorrel.
Yeah, we don't have sender's name for that particular question, but she sent some beautiful photos.
Mm-hmm. Very nice looking weed.
We have a question from Gary via email. Hi, Steve, Gwen, Joby. I live in West Petaluma. I'd like to plant some zucchini. What's the best way and time? Can we do this in about a minute or so?
Yeah, if you have starts, you can put them in the ground right now. Wait until the soil is a little warmer and throw some seeds in. And zucchini's one of those plants that just, they take off from seed. They do really well.
Is it too early, do you think, Gwen? Or you can put your zucchini in now?
I wait until the first part of May. I'm first, second week in May, I just wait. So, and stick your hand in the soil. If it's cold, your seeds are just going to sit there and not do much. So mid-May is a good time to get everything in the ground.
Yeah. Judy from Windsor, welcome to Garden Talk. What can we do for you this morning?
Hi. Well, first I want to say to Gwen, that was a lovely interview yesterday with Pat Pearson.
Thank you. Oh, thank you. Yeah, she had me on as a guest for like 10 minutes.
You have the wrong Pat. It was Pat Kerrigan.
Isn't what she said?
She said Pat Thurston, who used to do a talk show here years ago.
I heard Kerrigan. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. Thank you, Judy.
But you were so enthusiastic about tomatoes, and I was wondering, can I put my tomatoes in the ground now? I've got them in 6-inch containers, and I'm raring to get them in the ground.
You can. The thing is, if the soil is cool and the temperatures stay cool, you know, they take a drop, and we're going to have cool weather all along, they're just going to sit there, and they're not going to do anything. So you could put some kind of plastic container around them if you want to create a little mini greenhouse, so you keep the temperature warm in there and it protects the tomatoes. If you have to get them in the ground, go ahead and do it. If you can wait another couple of weeks, then wait for the weather to warm up and the soil to warm up, and the tomatoes will be happy with their roots in warm soil instead of cold soil.
Okay, then I'll wait. They're in a very nice warm protected spot right now.
Okay.
And they won't be when they get in there.
Okay. And do you have them? Do you have them out in the sun? They're outside?
They're outside on the patio table where the sun hits them about 6 hours a day.
Okay.
Is that too cold at night?
No. Mine are sitting outside too. They're just sitting in containers, but I don't want to put them in the ground because the soil is too cold still. So, be patient until mid-May.
All right. And my other question is peach leaf curl. My tree has got it worse than it's had in a decade. If I pull off all the affected leaves, I'm going to have an almost naked tree. So what should I do?
You could pull them off if you have time on your hands. It doesn't matter if you pull them off or not. The disease is there. You're going to have to spray in the wintertime, and you're going to have to be on top of it to control it.
Yeah.
Okay.
I sprayed it twice this winter, but I didn't get the third spray yet.
Yeah, well, and the stuff that's out on the market is not 100% effective. It's not even 80% effective, so we can only do what we can do. But yeah, the more times you spray, the better the coverage, hopefully the better the control. But go ahead. Okay. If you have time to pull the leaves off, pull them off, and they'll grow another set of leaves.
Jody, thanks so much for the call. Joby, thanks for stopping by. I know you got to get back to the farm.
Thank you.
And we'll talk to you and have you back in a couple months as we approach melon season. Best of luck in your rebuilding at the Redwood Adventist Academy on Mark West Springs Road. We'll keep you in our thoughts, okay?
Well, thank you.
Thank you, Gwen.
Thank you, Steve.
We will see you next Saturday, all righty?
Starting at 10 o'clock?
Yes, because we have the human race next week, so hour number one of Garden Talk will not be here. But the lovely Rachel Spaeth from the Luther Burbank Gardens will be in to chat about their big upcoming Mother's Day festivities.
Perfect.
John Ash in the KSRO Kitchen, that's coming up next.